Masechet Baba Kama, Perek Yod, Mishnah Bet. Here we'll talk about situations where a person is allowed to benefit from stolen goods, as opposed to what we said in the last Mishnah, situations that you're not allowed to benefit from stolen goods. Mishnah says, Natlu mochsinet hamoro, venatnu lo hamor ahed. If the customs collector took this person's donkey and he gave him a different donkey, he felt bad for him. After he confiscated this person's donkey, he said, how's this person going to get around? So he had to take another donkey, even though that donkey is of lesser value. Or, gazluli stimet kesuto venatnu lo kesut aheret. Or if thieves stole this man's clothing and they gave him other clothing from somebody else that was stolen of inferior value, hare elu shelo. In this case, they are considered to be his to keep. He's allowed to hold on to them. Because we can make the assumption that the real owners gave up hope of finding them. We say that stolen property is legally allowed to be kept by a person if you have the following two conditions. Number one, you have yi'ush. The original owner gave up hope of ever getting his items back. He gave up hope. They're stolen, they're gone, he doesn't try and recover them. Number two, there's shinui reshut. After the thief stole them, he now transferred them to a third party. He gave them to a third person. So if both of these conditions are there, an individual is allowed to keep the stolen items that he has. In these cases, we have both of them. The tax collector stole the item from one person, and then he transferred it off to a third person, in terms of the donkey. Same with the thieves. They took it from one person, and they gave it to a third person. So you have shinui reshut, and you also have yi'ush. We can make the assumption that the original owners, they don't think they're getting their stuff back from thieves. They don't think they're getting their stuff back from the tax collector. So therefore, the person who now is holding on to the item is allowed to keep it. Hamatzil min hanahar, o min hagayis, o min halistim, in a situation where somebody rescues items from a flooding river or from an army or from thieves, if it's known that the original owner gave up hope of getting these items back that the person here found, then the person who found them is allowed to keep them. So here again, you have the third parties getting them. Let's say the thieves took an item from person A, and now the thieves are holding on to them, and the thieves lose their items. So now a third person finds them, that third person could keep it as long as it's pretty clear from the context, from the situation, that the original owner gave up hope of finding them. A third case. Same talking about a swarm of bees. If there was a bee's nest in one person's property, in a beehive, and they left that beehive and they settled into a different property. They switched places. If we could assume that the owner of the bees gave up hope of trying to get back his bees once they settled elsewhere, then they're the persons to keep where the bees settled. Now we'll continue to talk about bees. Amar Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka said, Ne'emenet isha o katan lomar mikan yatsa nehil ze. A woman or a child is believed to say that these bees left a certain place. They're allowed to identify the owner of a swarm of bees, even though we usually say that a woman or a child testimony is not accepted. In this case, we do accept it. On a deoraita level, we say that bees are always considered to be ownerless. But Hachamim said that on a derabanan level, we're going to say that bees actually could have an owner, because sometimes bees, they nest or they put a beehive in a person's property and they become a source of income for that person. So therefore, on a derabanan level, a person could own bees, and it's prohibited for somebody to keep bees that left a different person's property unless he knows that there was yi'ush from that other person, like we said earlier in the Mishnah. Ah, so now that the whole concept of ownership with bees is derabanan, then Hachamim can also say that when it comes to the testimony, we could also make certain leniency. Since the rabbis are dictating what's considered to be ownership of bees, they also could dictate who's allowed to give testimony about bees, and they included women and children in that testimony. The Mishnah here is giving permission for a person to walk into another property, someone else's property or field, to retrieve his bees that settled elsewhere. V'im hezik mishalem ma shehizik. But if he damaged the field, if he damaged crops while he was walking there, he has to pay for what he damaged. We give him permission to enter, but he has to make sure not that he pays for any damage that he causes. He's only entering to recover his bees, so he has permission. And if he plans to make sure to cover any expenses that he causes the owner of the field, it's all permitted. But he's not allowed to cut off the branch of a tree in another person's field in order to take all of the bees that are nesting on that branch. Person may think, you know what, let me cut off the branch, I'll take all my bees back in one shot, because I'm nervous if I take one bee at a time, I'm going to end up losing a lot of them, they're going to fly away. So let me cut off a branch of a tree and I'll be able to bring them all back in one shot. Says the Mishnah, that's not allowed. Even if you want to pay for the branch, even if you want to pay for the value of the branch, you're not allowed to do that, because you can't really replace the full price of a branch. Different than crops. Crops regrow very easily. A bushel of corn got damaged, you pay for it, and it's going to regrow again. But when it comes to a tree, the branch of a tree doesn't necessarily grow back, and you may be hurting the future proceeds of the owner of the field. Rabbi Ishmael ben Oshel, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka, Rabbi Ishmael, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Yohanan ben Beroka, he differs. He says, "Af koses venotenet hadami." He says, "You're even allowed to cut off the branch of a tree to recover the bees, and then just pay the price for the branch." He would say, "It's just like regular crops. With regular crops, we give permission, like at the hila, for a person to enter another field and damage crops if he's going to get bees." Here we'll say he's even allowed to cut off a branch in order to recover his bees, as long as he pays the money for that branch.